Hello, and you're listening to the She Boss Cafe podcast. Today's episode, we are going to dive deep into branding. I am so excited to have one of our featured expert contributors in the She Boss Cafe, Teresa Wilmot of Wilmot Designs. She is going to help us really understand, I'm going to call this the evolution of our brands. So stay tuned. Hi, this is Susan Trumpler from Unstoppable Women in Business, and I'm so glad you're here today in the She Boss Cafe, where we believe that being a She Boss is an identity. It's a way of life. Being a female entrepreneur is not always easy, but it is the most gratifying way to put yourself out to the world. So join us in the She Boss Cafe, where we're on a mission to connect, support, and watch you smash your goals. So let's get started. Hi there, Teresa. Thank you so much for being a guest here on She Boss Cafe today.
I am excited to be here.
Yes, you're one of my favorite persons in the world. You know that. You know that.
I feel the same about you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I have to tell you guys, the listeners here, that Teresa is a partner and a guest expert in the She Boss Cafe because she has been partnering with me, with my VIP clients, in helping them create branded, beautiful list building lead magnets. She worked cooperatively with them and I helped them put the content together, and then Teresa just made them look gorgeous. And you did a beautiful job, Teresa. Thank you again.
Thank you
for all the effort you put into that. So tell us a little bit more about Wilmot Designs and what you do in that business, Teresa.
So Wilmot Designs specializes in branding in three different buckets: custom brand development, brand refreshes or updates, and rebrands. And each of those serves a business at a different point in its journey. The custom brand development is for people just starting out. So a lot of times people will come to me when they're thinking about a business or when they have already come up with one and they want to build out a brand for it. And another way they come to me is when they want to make a little bit of a shift in their business, but not totally rebrand it. They might want to change their name, shift their images a little bit, you know, depending on what's going on in their business at the time. Usually those people have been in business for a couple of years and, you know, getting to know what they do and who they serve and might need to make an adjustment. And then the rebrand people are the third bucket. They are usually doing something, making a bigger shift, doing something different, either in a product line or service, or serving a totally different demographic.
Mm. So Teresa, how does somebody recognize when it's time to actually do a shift? What brings people to you for those types of things more often than not?
Yeah, a few things. I mean, for the rebrand people, they're usually, like I said, they're usually coming up with a whole different avenue. Sometimes they might have their current target market, but they've dreamt up of another target market they want to serve. And, you know, so sometimes it can be not even just a rebrand entirely, but like an offshoot that their current brand doesn't really speak to. It could be if you're in a product industry and you have a whole new product line you want to roll out, that's another indicator. And other times it might just be a disconnection. Sometimes people come to me and they've grown into their business more. They started out with like a logo on Etsy or something very inexpensive that they didn't really have the opportunity to customize at the time. And now they're ready. Now they're more clear on who they're trying to reach. And we work through what that could look like visually.
Yeah. I know a lot of people in that. And I have to say, I probably fit in that category a couple of years ago, where when I first started my business, I didn't want to invest a lot of money into the brand. And then I almost outgrew it. It just, it visually did not depict who I was as a person. It felt kind of rinky dink. You know what I mean? And not as elegant or as powerful as I think the work that I do is. And so do people come with you or to you stating those types of things? What do they normally say?
It is usually that. It's interesting. Sometimes I describe branding as outfitting your business. There's the style that you wear, and then there's the way your brand presents itself.
Yes.
And as small business owners in general, when we're the owner, we are very close to the business itself. And I do think along the way, it can grow to a point where the visuals don't fit how we've grown. And I think you're a great example. Anyone who's been following you can see the shift that you've made and see that I feel like your palette and your imagery has, what's a good word, has brightened, has uplifted, it has more energy to it now than it did before.
Thank you. Yes, that is exactly what I was trying to infuse in it. It just felt like when I first started out, I was in a phase where things that were very muted and pasteled were attractive to me. But then when I looked at my brand assets overall, I just was getting this washed out, like limp feeling from it. And so that's what inspired me to move more towards a more brighter and vibrant. And it does definitely reflect my personality even more. It's interesting how the things you like don't always reflect your purpose or how you go to market.
That's very true. And that's something I remind people as well when they come to me. It's hard to separate. I think when we're in business for ourselves, it's hard to separate personal and business, right? They collide a lot. And so in that same way, it's hard to separate your brand, how you're showing up as a brand and how you're showing up as a person. Sometimes they're very similar. If you are the main product, if you're a coach and you are the main product, there shouldn't be a lot of disconnect between the two, because you don't want to put yourself out there for people to see in social, web, marketing materials. And then when they talk to you, they're like, oh, wait, you're not at all how this was represented. So there's a little, it's not totally black and white, this whole process and the thinking about it.
I hear you. And I'm so curious, because as we talk about a coach or someone who does use their name for their brand, I'm curious about your opinion. Do you think that's a good idea? Or do you encourage people to go in a different direction?
As someone who has part of her name in her business.
Well, that's right. You do.
I do. And it's now, mine is my last name. So my thinking is that it's a little bit more general, because it's a lot, and you know, there's law firms that have last names there. Sometimes a last name can be general enough, but I have thought about even rebranding myself. I think a lot of times taking yourself out allows, and rebranding with a different name allows the business a little bit more room for growth. If you're looking to scale and bring other people in, it just kind of separates a little bit.
I agree. Yeah. As a business coach, when I work with my clients, there usually comes a time where they outgrow the brand with just their name in it. I like the way you have Wilmot Design. So it's almost like a firm, a professional firm, right? But here's the other thing I'm a huge believer in, and this might help you, Teresa.
Yes. Yeah, I'm listening.
Well, it's not a mistake. I named the business Unstoppable Women in Business. I want my business name or my brand to be a result, to be something like an aspirational identity of, and even She Boss Cafe, it's an aspirational identity that I want people to be able to grow into. So it's one of those things where I know a lot of folks start out with their name as part of their business, and then they kind of shift, like they rebrand. So in essence, the third level of branding that you were talking about originally, have you worked with anyone who's gone through a successful rebrand, moving from their name to something else? And how did that work for them?
So I have. I actually, in the last year, worked with a photographer who was in business as herself, her first and last name photography, which is pretty common in that industry. And she decided that she wanted, hers was actually not a rebrand. I would call it more of a refresh slash update. Because when she came to me and I had done her original brand, she liked everything we had done, but she was looking to take her tagline and move it into a business name. So what we did in that case was changed the name, kind of reshaped the graphic. The logo itself looks different, but not drastically different. So I think for her, it really helped her step away from, like you're saying, it helped her step back and helped the business step forward and have the potential to grow even more. And it, and when I think when people look at the new name of the business, it describes her style of photography even better than just her name would.
Very cool. So was there any situation for this person where people knew her as her name? They recognized her, they trusted her, and then she switched the brand around. Was there a process that she had to go through to make that work successfully for her? Describe the, you know, kind of the steps involved.
Yes, absolutely. She did it right. She took this as an opportunity because there's an investment involved. You know, you have to change. There's a lot of things that need to be changed, even with a refresher update. So what she did before she even launched it was started putting little crumbs out there about the fact that she was involved in a rebrand, an update. She called it an update and a refresh. So she was kind of hinting to her market that that's what she was doing. And then I think she even like leading up, watch for my rebrand or my refresh and refreshed website and logo to show up next week. You know, she really kind of did kind of a countdown and then put it out there. And by way of doing that, she's preparing her existing clients and her prospects, because you have clients that you work with right now, but you have clients, you have prospects that are watching you. And that's where your brand comes into play, right? It's that piece that establishes the know, like, and care. I like that. Trust and care, right? People start to care about you and trust you as they see you put yourself out there. And then if you are going to do something like this, preparing them for the shift. And actually, it's a great opportunity to get them excited along with you. And then to present it. It just, you're excited about it. They get to be excited about it. It really, she did it well. So it worked for her.
Excellent. Excellent. But I think you have some situations, I know we've talked about this in the past, where there was a rebrand that didn't go as well. Can you describe what it was and why you think it didn't go well?
Yes. One of my favorite stories, and I shouldn't say favorite because a failure isn't, you know, nothing you would call a favorite story, but a great example, I should say, of a failed rebrand would be The Gap. We all know The Gap, whether you know and love them or just know them. The Gap has been around since 1990 in their current logo form. And in 2010, they did a rebrand that lasted for 6 days. And it lasted for 6 days because they got so much backlash from the people who love The Gap that they switched back to their old logo, because there were a couple of things. They, number one, had no reason to rebrand. You know, people were kind of making fun of the new logo and saying, I could do that myself, or what is this all about? So they had no solid reason to rebrand. There was no shift in the business. There were no new product lines coming out. And they didn't prepare their existing customer base. So The Gap is a tried and true brand. They have a lot of trust among their customers, you know, quality and reliability. And they just switched, you know, made the switch on them. And 6 days later, turned it back off.
Abort, so, abort.
Yeah, and it's expensive. They lost a lot of money in that.
Sure, I'm sure. And customer sentiment. I won't say loyalty, but
Yes.
more like, what is wrong with them? You know, Teresa, you mentioned that there needs to be a reason, a solid reason. What would an example for someone who's a solopreneur or a small entrepreneur or small business, what would a solid reason be?
So I think about it this way. If you are, for instance, a coach and you are serving, let's say you're serving mothers that are raising newborn through like middle school, you know, in the child rearing ages, you're helping them overcome overwhelm. But then you might want to shift. Maybe that market is cooling off for you and you've made a decision you want to shift to women in their 40s and 50s who are in the next stage of their family growth. That would be a reason to rebrand. You might even want to change the name, but change the name of your business at that point. You know, maybe you started out as your name, so and so coaching, and you want to change to, like we were saying before, a more generalized name that fits that group
Yes.
that you want to target.
So interesting that you're saying this because I just read a post on LinkedIn. Someone who was a marketing expert wrote a book, was ready to launch all these programs, and went through a significant family trauma. It literally put her business on simmer for several months. And then when she came back to her business, she said, I don't want to focus on that anymore. Life is too short to be all business. And she went to a life coaching kind of a niche and like really did a 180 degree. And I'm believing that the LinkedIn post, now that I think about it, is one of those preparation things where she was describing to people, this is what happened to me in my life. This is why I'm making a change. This is what it's going to look like. If you want to know more information about it, you can click here and get more. But I think she was in the prepare phase of her brand shift.
Yeah, and that's a
Well
great
done.
reason. That's a totally different client you're serving, right?
Yeah, right. It is. But I do see a lot of folks that I work with as they start their business. They pick a lane, right? And they follow that path for a while. And then they're like, no, you know what I've learned that I love doing is this. And they kind of make just a little bit of a right turn. It doesn't have to be quite as large of a shift. But even as they're doing that, there is an opportunity to refresh how they show up visually and their brand assets.
Exactly. And that's where like a brand update slash refresh comes into play. When you start out, again, you might have started out, you know, with a limited budget, and then you're growing. And as you grow your business, you also learn what kind of assets you need. You know,
Yes.
maybe you're starting to go to conferences more and you didn't before. So you need
Right.
those type of materials. Or maybe you're posting on social in different ways, or you're offering something different that would need like a flyer or a sales sheet or something. So any kind of shift in those ways warrants sitting down and rethinking your brand.
Yeah. That makes complete sense. All right. So I have one more question for you. And I get this question all of the time. So we've been really focusing on the overarching business brand. However, everyone has products and programs within their portfolio. And so a lot of the women that I work with are trying to create a brand for the program so that there's, right. So tell me how tightly connected does your product or program brands have to be to the overarching business brand? If that does that make sense? What's
It
your thoughts?
does. So my answer to that would be, I've seen it done a number of ways. I think part of it depends on how closely related that product is. Is it a base, a foundational product, or is it a specialty? There are really easy ways to create, like spin-off logos is a great way to think of them. If you have like a workshop or a program that you want to send people to take your existing logo and colors and either just add the name or use the same font for the name of the program. I think there's a lot of value in keeping it connected, both with font and color. But if it's totally separate, having something that's even a little bit more of an offshoot. You've seen eWomen Network, for instance. They, when they put on their programs, those brandings, I mean, they're similar, but they tend to have a little bit more flash to them.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. So, but there is definitely a, I would recognize it as being yes. theirs because it's in the same color palette.
Yeah,
but it does have some sassiness to it. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's a hard question to answer because there's a range. There's not necessarily a black and white answer to it, but they should be connected. They should be connected.
Right. That makes sense. Awesome. All right, Teresa, how can my listeners find you? Where do you hang out?
So the easiest way to get a hold of me would be to go to my website, because you can sign up for my newsletter, you can get my email and social information there. And that is wilmotdesignsplural.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Teresa. And for anyone who is listening to this podcast, please know that the first and third Wednesdays of the month, we record this podcast live in the She Boss Cafe, where you can come and actually join us, because the first 20, 25 minutes or so, we'll be interviewing our guest experts. And then we unplug the microphones and we kick back with the community members and have more conversations. People are able to have questions that they could have answered. We just sit and relax and talk with each other. It's a great community. So if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, that's one. Wonderful. Make sure you rate and give us a review. We would appreciate it so much. But we encourage you to join the She Boss Cafe and join us live in the cafe for the after party. You can find the information about that in the show notes in the podcast platform. So thank you very much again, Teresa. I appreciate it. Hang out. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to turn off the recording here and we're going to hang out with our friends. Thank you again, ladies. Have a great day and we'll talk to you again next week. Did you know that 8 out of 10 businesses fail within the first 18 months of existence? I personally believe that we can improve that statistic, one business at a time. At She Boss Cafe, you will find the support and connections you need to take the mystery out of that big black hole we call sales and marketing. Whether it's creating your playbook, being supported by the community experts, or even joining a mastermind group that fits you perfectly, you can find it all at the cafe. Come join us. Information is available in the show notes, and we hope to see you there soon. Have a wonderful day.